People who earn the most are sales alchemists. They can take lead, they can turn it into gold, and they can get sales on their own.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Frazier Show.
All right, pre-market squad, welcome back to another exciting episode of the BYO Boss podcast. I'm your host, the High Priest of Propaganda, Nathan Frazier, and today I've got a very special guest. We've got Joe Schrieffer, who is one of my living idols. I'm going to leave it at that, and we're going to jump into a whole bunch of crazy stuff in this episode, but a little bit of background. Joe Schrieffer is one of the main copywriters, if not the main copywriter, for Agora Financial, one of the biggest, most successful financial newsletter publication companies out there. A personal hero of mine, and I am so excited to have him on the show. I'm going to shut up because I feel like I'm rambling. And Joe, first of all, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always told you, and I'll continue to tell you, anything that, you know, helps you and your audience, I am all for.
Well, you're a very generous guy, and I know your time is valuable, so I really appreciate it. And I wanted to kind of give my audience a little bit of a background on how you got into copywriting and what it's been able to do for your life and for the company that you work for, Agora Financial.
Yeah. I always tell everybody that I got really, really lucky because I didn't know what copywriting was. I didn't know what Agora was. I got hired haphazardly because I had just graduated college, which probably a whole separate topic, but I thought college was worthless. I'm trying to get my kids not to go to college right now. I'm fighting against my wife there, but I digress. So I went through college. I had no clue what I was going to do. I stumbled across Agora. I took the job with Agora because I didn't have to work nights and weekends. Like, I was working retail throughout college. I could drink beer with my friends, go out and party and stuff like that and get paid slightly more. So I took the job with Agora just based on those few facts. I was a list broker at Agora, which meant that going way back in the direct mail days, we'll talk about this in a little bit, because it relates to some other things I know we're going to talk about today. But going way back in the direct mail days, I was the one who would gather all the direct mail lists together for the marketing managers and for the copywriters and mail out their promotions in direct mail and then help them interpret the results. So to answer your question, how I found copywriting was during the direct mail days, I was seeing all this copy cross my desk, and certain pieces of copy, we would only mail 50 to 100,000 pieces of direct mail. Other pieces of copy, we would mail millions of. And I remember looking at this copy and I'd say, you know, what's the difference here? Why are we mailing 50,000 of this promotion and 8 million of this promotion out? And I started to find, even though I had a pea brain at the time, I started to find out that the massive difference was in the conversion rates of these two pieces of copy. You know, we're only mailing 50,000 of this one because it doesn't convert. And we're mailing 8 million of this one because it's converting like gangbusters. So I really found that indirect response in this business that I had wandered into, that the biggest variance in why certain publications and certain companies were much larger than others, the biggest variance was because of copy. So I started reading the copy and becoming obsessed with the copy and saying, you know, I'm not a born writer. If you leave it up to me, I'm probably much more into numbers than I am into writing. So I really took a long time, probably much longer than most human beings, to really study this writing, and then trying to emulate this writing, trying to figure out what made the difference of conversions and non-conversions. So I really haphazardly stumbled into it. I found that the big alpha in any publishing company is going to be copy, and I just became obsessed with it, started studying it. You know, more than any other human being on the planet. I was reading more promotions, I think, than anybody probably out there. I started to copy promotions by hand, which I'm sure a lot of your tribe members have probably done in the past if they wanted to study copy. I started writing copy. I started experimenting with copy. So that was really it, just totally by accident. I found that the alpha was copywriting. I became obsessed.
Now, I've been through your copy camp, and one of the things that I really took away from it is your analytical approach to it. You break down sales letters like I've never seen anybody do. Kind of give us a little bit of a insight into your process of what goes through your mind when you're reading a sales letter, when you're breaking it down, and what are you looking for?
Yep. The build upon that, we tell all of our copywriters that what I believe is that you only need to do three things every day to succeed as a copywriter. Number one, you should read a promotion a day, and we'll get to exactly what you're asking in a second. Number two, you should create an idea every single day. And number three, you should write a page of copy every single day. So read a promotion, write down an idea, and write a page of copy. If someone does that every day for 2 years, and I'm talking Saturdays and Sundays, they will become a world-class copywriter. They do not need to buy all the books. They don't need to buy all the courses. All they need to do is have the discipline to do those three things every day. Now, the trick comes in what you're asking. When we say read a promotion, what I do not mean is that you simply take a long-form direct response promotion, you read it, and then you say, that was good, or I didn't like that. That is not what I mean. You're not going to learn anything doing that. What I mean when I say that you should break down a promotion in that analytical sense that you just asked is that you should read that promotion and you should circle every single paragraph and you should ask yourself, what was the copywriter trying to do in that paragraph? The easiest way to do it, and I'm going to steal from an idea that I believe is, I know it's not my idea. I believe it comes from Mark Ford, who's one of the principals at Agora, who helped found AWAI, the American Writers for Artist Institute or something like that. Artist Writers American Institute. I don't know what it is. Anyway, AWAI. But what Mark says is that there's four P's. Four P's. There's promise, picture, proof, and push. Promise, picture, proof, and push. So at minimum, when people read a promotion a day, you should circle every paragraph and ask yourself, which of the four P's is this copywriter using? Is that paragraph meant to provide a promise to the reader? Is that paragraph meant to push the reader towards urgency or scarcity? Is that paragraph meant to offer proof? Is that paragraph meant to paint a picture of what that reader's life is going to be like if they take you up on your offer that you're offering them today? So the easiest way to do it is when you're reading a promotion a day, study every single paragraph and just label it which of the four P's. Now, what's going to happen when you do that is that you're going to notice hidden beneath this this piece of copy are really different types of architecture. And there's really probably only six or seven different types of architecture for the world's most converting pieces of sales copy. So if you just read a promotion a day and say, oh, that was good, or oh, that was terrible, you don't learn a lot. But if you're reading that promotion, and if you're studying that promotion, and you're breaking down that promotion, you're going to see the hidden architecture sitting beneath these promotions. Then when you're writing down your idea a day, and when you want to turn into an actual world-class copywriter, all you have to do is mimic the architecture of the promos that you've studied in the past. You don't need to reinvent, you know, the proverbial wheel. If you've read all of these promotions, you'll see that there is a flow to them. There's a certain way that you string promises and proof and pushes together to make a compelling piece of converting copy. So if you have all of that architecture at your disposal and you have a new idea, you can force it into the architecture that someone has already paved for you. So therefore, the promotion will feel new, it will feel novel, it will feel unique because it's your unique idea, but you're going to ride the backs of someone who's already structured that architecture in a way that supports the sale. So those are the three things. You should read a promotion every single day and break it down very analytical, like you said, in the way that I just mentioned. You should write down an idea a day and you should write a piece of copy, write a page of copy a day. If you do that, you will turn into a world-class copywriter. You don't have to buy any of the books. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars on the program. All you have to do is those three things. But you have to have the discipline to do it time and time and time and time again, right? Everything is going to come at sacrifices of other things, right? If you want to become a world-class copywriter, you're going to sacrifice other things in your life because you're going to be somewhere and say, you know what? I didn't read my promotion today. I need to go home and I need to spend an hour thinking about the promotion. Final thing I'll say about that. I play the guitar, but I'm not a musician in any type of way. I don't write original songs. But what I have seen from playing the guitar, right, is that there's only, let's say, Like if you studied the top 10 or 20 songs of all time, there's a hidden architecture beneath a lot of those songs, right? Most songs go verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, right? So if you took the top 20 hit songs of all time and you broke them down, I don't know what percentage, but it would be a high percentage of them that followed that format, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, right? Just like that, there's hidden architecture behind sales letters. And the only way to do that is to break them down, to get to learn that, right? So again, there's only six or seven of those templates, six or seven of those hidden types of architecture. If you study those pieces of copy, you'll learn, just like a songwriter would learn, that if they put it into this format, their chances of having a hit might be higher than if they're trying to write another Freebird 18-minute song that's wildly varying. You know, most of those hit songs are only going to be verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, in the same way that most hit promotions have a hidden architecture to them as well.
Yeah, and I think just like in music or just like any kind of art form, you have to know the rules before you can break them and still have something that works. And a lot of people, they try to break the rules before they fully understand them, and it ends up blowing up in their face, and then they end up with really low converting sales letters. So I want to change the topic just a little bit, and I hope you're okay with this. Agora is in Maryland, and You guys are known for being a fairly liberal city. And I wanted to talk about politics just a little bit with you, because I wanted to get your take on something that, for me, I grew up very hardcore leftist. My dad was part of Reconquista, and we grew up on welfare. We were very anti-capitalist. I was all about the revolution. And then I started making money. I started my own business. I started learning about marketing, and I found myself on the other end of my economic ideals. And I had a real quick wake-up moment there. But it seems like the ideas that I embraced as a kid that I thought were fantasy and would never come to fruition, it seems like a lot of those ideas are starting to become more and more popular. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on the rising popularity of socialism in our economic system or in our political system, and how it's being marketed to kids, and where you see this going if left unchecked.
Well, before I tell you, I will say that anything I'm about to say are my views, right? Like, there is no Agora-wide view here. Anything that I'm about to tell you is me, Joe Schrieffer's views on what you just asked. So I want to make that clear. Now, that said, you know, the trend is terrifying to me. I am a hardcore, if anything, probably rabid libertarian right now, even though I don't even like that title, because the way I look at the world is, as long as you're not screwing up someone else's life, then it's no one else's right to tell you how to live yours, right? So there are certain things that I believe on the left side of the spectrum. There are other things I believe on the right side of the spectrum. I don't like to put labels on myself. That said, if you had to put a label on me, I would probably say it's probably closest to libertarianism. So to come to your exact point, you know, I think what is happening in the world today is terrifying. I think what's happening in the United States today is terrifying. You know, the idea of these enormously high tax rates that someone like AOC is pitching, or someone like Bernie Sanders is coming out and saying is, you know, I'm a socialist Democrat. To me, it is absolutely terrifying, right? The one thing that they miss is that at the end of the day, people with money will vote with their feet. So if they do not like taxation policies, you know, you look at what's happening of the people moving down to Puerto Rico, right? For the wealthy people moving down to Puerto Rico, they're voting with their feet. And they're saying, look, I'm going to leave the continental United States to go to different places. So when that exodus happens of the millionaires or the billionaires that are being blamed, you know, that for this income inequality, when the exodus of that happens, then what happens to America? You know, and it only gets worse and worse and worse and worse when the wealthy people begin to leave because the taxation rate gets so high. That's going to be a bad place. So I am not an economist in any type of way. You know, I've not went through any formal education or even informal education about the economy. I have certain beliefs. I follow certain people. So I'm a huge fan of someone like Peter Schiff, who can way more eloquently explain how dangerous socialism might be for America than I could ever explain. But I do think that it's very dangerous when you start to see, and don't quote me here, but I thought I heard the fact that there will be more millennials voting in this 2020 election than baby boomers. Mm-hmm. And if that millennial population, as you mentioned, is being marketed to with these socialist type of policies, and if they come out in droves and influence the next election and put someone like Bernie in office, you know, it's a dangerous, dangerous place. And to be honest, I think any type of politics is dangerous, no matter who's in office. You know, I think the whole thing is just a show anyway. I think it's just a different shade of the same color when you put anybody in office. Because you look at Trump, right? Like, you like him or you hate Trump, you would think he would be very disruptive, and he's in there and even can't get things done, right? Like, to me, Trump has become the swamp that he had tried to drain. And then I said some people who might be on the show, but that, to me, that's the truth, right? When he caves in and he gives in to the government shutdown and restarts the government, when he can't get his stuff done on the border wall, like those policies or hate those policies, he has now become swamped by the swamp. But anyway, I digress. Coming back to your question, right? Like, the idea that demographics in America are changing and that there might be more millennials voting and that the majority of those millennials are going to vote for socialist type of policies. They're going to be the ones that follow AOC on Twitter and, you know, retweet everything and spread those messages or vote for potentially someone like Bernie who might get the nomination. You know, it's terrifying. And again, when those millionaires and billionaires vote with their feet, it's going to be a dangerous place in the future.
Yeah. Because I used to embrace those ideals, I try not to get too angry at kids that embrace them now. But having read history and having looked at what the outcome of these ideals are, it's just weird to me that a product that is so bad and has failed so many times can still grip the marketplace of ideas. I just don't understand. It's hard for me to understand how they're able to repackage and resell this idea that's just so fundamentally flawed and has never been what it's been promised, but people keep gobbling up the promise.
You know, it would be, I always tell everybody here too, right, that, and this is not a secret, like, human beings are not rational human beings. One of my favorite behavioral economists out there is a gentleman named Dan Ariely that you may know, or people listening to this podcast may know. He wrote a book called Predictably Irrational. Right? That we as human beings are not only irrational, but we're predictably irrational. And there's a lot of things that you can use for good or for evil once you understand that. And I think for the people who want to sell that message, they understand that people are predictably irrational, that it's easy to repackage and sell this dream of socialism. Because the fact of the matter is, if people were rational, that wouldn't work. Right? Because they would understand history and they would have looked through the different countries that have tried to implement this and what fell out afterwards. But people aren't rational. They're totally irrational. And in fact, they're predictably irrational. So when you can market this dream and repackage this dream and sell it to a younger generation who hasn't yet read the history books, then you can get the outcome that you may want, right? You can push the agenda that you may want. So I think about it all the time, right? It's so dangerous, but it's built into human psychology that we are not rational human beings. So you buy in certain people, right? Younger people who, again, haven't had the life experience will buy into these dreams because, and again, Schiff said it, I think, more eloquently than I did, and I'm sure he's quoting somebody else that said, you know, when you're younger, you don't have a heart if you're not liberal, and when you get older, you don't have a head if you're not conservative, right? That's totally right. Like, you look towards that younger audience and that they're going to lean liberal, they're going to lean socialist, and they get repackaged this dream because we're all irrational human beings. They don't do their research until they get older and have read the history books like you have and like I have and Peter Schiff has. So again, not trying to push an agenda here, just representing my views because you asked. That's my thoughts.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you being honest about it because I wish more people were honest about it. And I see successful people like yourself being demonized. And I think people need to hear the other side of the story or hear the other side of the argument. And again, I'm going to totally change direction on you for a third time. And I appreciate you playing along with me. One of the things that I tune into your copy calls every Tuesday. Agora has a fantastic call. You guys always line up really awesome speakers. And a couple of weeks back, you were on the call and you were talking about the overlap of sales copy and marketing. And my website, Copy and Funnels, the reason why I named it Copy and Funnels is because I started realizing more and more people were wanting that overlap. People would come to me to have, initially, my most common thing is sales pages. And then the people that had me write their sales page, they would say, well, can you help us write an email sequence that sends people to the sales page? Can you help us write the landing page that gets people signed up for the email sequence? And so I've started noticing that a lot of people that need copy, they want the person that's writing their copy to have a healthy understanding of all of the gears and pieces for the whole marketing funnel as well. But this is an idea that I don't know if it's a classic idea and I just came across it, but you mentioned it. And I wanted to get your take on, is it a growing overlap? Is this something that I just never paid attention to before? Or what's going on as far as a copywriter? Should they be paying attention to? Should they be learning more about marketing than just writing copy?
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you the punchline before I tell you the setup. You know, the punchline is absolutely, to me, the days of having copy over here and marketing over here are over. To me, they are here now. There is very little distinction, I believe, between a marketer and a copywriter anymore. So that's the punchline. Let me back up and tell you the history. I mentioned earlier that I started at Agora 17 years ago, and I found my way haphazardly into this. And I mentioned that I was doing direct mail. And in those days, 17 years ago, you know, marketing was definitely over here. Copywriting was definitely over here. I'll explain real quick how it works. I don't know how many people that are listening to you today have been in the industry. I'm sure there's some that have been in the industry much longer than I have, and some that may be just starting out, right? But 17 years ago, what would happen is that you'd have a copywriter over here come up with a big idea, come up with a sales letter, and then they deliver it to someone like me, a marketer over here. And what I would do is I would gather all these direct mail lists, because 17 years ago, that was really the only way to get names was through direct mail. I would gather all these direct mail lists, and then I would take the copywriter's package and I would send it to the print house. They'd take a week to print it. I would then send the printed mail piece to what was called a merge purge company that would actually do the mailing. They'd mail that thing out, which would take another week to get into the hands of the potential subscribers. The potential subscribers would mail their checks back to us, which would take another week or two to process. So my point in sharing this is that it was about a month-long cycle from when the copywriter gave me the copy to when I could go back to the copywriter with results. That cycle was about a month. And then when I'd come back to the copywriter, I'd say, hey, you know, here's the response rate we got. Here's the break even or the ROI that we got. I might need you to tweak the headline, or I might need you to tweak the lead. But that was a month later. Now, fast forward to 2019, time that we're sitting here talking, and I'm sure everybody who's listening to you that's ever had any piece out there in the marketplace knows that the response cycle is not a month anymore. The response cycle might be 5 minutes, right? You can write a piece of copy. We could write a piece of copy together. And if I'm a marketer and you're a copywriter, you could give that to me and I could put it on Facebook and we could start getting clicks 5 minutes from now, assuming the ad is approved, right? So 5 minutes from now, I could go back to you as the copywriter and say, I need 10 more ads. You know, I need a better headline because it's not really, we're seeing the bounce rates on the page be too high. That feedback cycle has been radically compressed. So when that feedback cycle is radically compressed, that means you have a marketer and a copywriter who aren't a month apart anymore. They're 5 minutes apart and they might be 2 minutes apart. So therefore, you know, you start getting in these chicken and egg scenarios in copy and marketing. Who should write the ads for Facebook? Is that a copywriter or is that a marketer who might understand the target audience better, who might understand how they're putting lookalike audiences in Facebook? Maybe the marketer can write better short-form copy to get clicks to a long-form copywriter's promotion than the copywriter can, because maybe the marketer understands the platform better, which you can and can't say on that platform. So the idea there is that the lines shouldn't exist anymore. That to me, there is no longer a copywriter over here and a marketer over here. that the people who are successful in 2019 and the people who will be successful in 2020, 2021, 2022, the people who will be paid the most are just sales alchemists. There is no marketer. There is no copywriter. It is a sales alchemist, and they are one of the same, right? It's someone who can take something that is looked at as lead and who can turn that into gold and get sales. So that means learning how to run traffic. That means learning how to write ads across every different platform. That means learning how to deal with affiliates and incentivizing an affiliate to run your offer. That means learning how to do funnels, like you said, upsells and downsells. That means writing copy. So that position now, to me, there is no longer a marketer. There is no longer a copywriter. That the people who earn the most are sales alchemists. They can take lead, they can turn it into gold, and they can get sales on their own. And maybe they have a little bit of a specialty in copy, or maybe they have a little bit of specialty in traffic driving, but they understand the totality of the picture. Because otherwise, they don't survive in the feedback loop. So, you know, let's talk about the alternative, right? Because you're either a dominator or you get dominated. So the dominator is going to be the sales alchemist. The person who gets dominated, the person who loses in this, is the person who always thinks about those divides, right? That the marketer says, hey, you, the copywriter, you need to give me 10 ads. And the copywriter says, well, I don't understand. What is the Facebook policy for ads? Like the marketer says, you know, whatever, 500 characters, including spaces. The copywriter says, well, I can't write that type of stuff. It's too short for him. So if those divides occur, people will get dominated, right? You need to understand the totality of the picture. Those lines are no longer no longer exist. So that is wholeheartedly what I completely believe is going to be the future, because I'm witnessing it right now in our business and I'm witnessing it in our industry. You've anticipated it early. And like you said, you made your business copy and funnels, right? Not just copy and not just funnels. Name them both. So you anticipated that change, rightfully so, but it's happening by the day. You know, if I were to offer any suggestion, it would really be copy, funnels, and traffic. Continue to build upon that, right? Because that's the totality of the picture. The copy and funnels won't matter until you get traffic. Traffic doesn't matter until you have copy and funnels. But to me, it's all three of those things, right? And in totality, that is just the sales outcome. That's what it is.
Nice. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up. And I'm going to go back to something that you said at the very beginning of this conversation, because it struck a chord with me. You said that you're a college graduate. I'm a high school dropout. Through life circumstances, I was forced to, or not forced, but at the time it made sense for me to drop out of high school. I was homeless. I was living on the streets and I was trying to get my life back together. And in order to do that, I needed to pick up a full-time job. I didn't have any support system. So I ended up dropping out of school. For better, for worse, it was the decision that I made. Now I find myself working for multi-million dollar companies. I find myself collecting huge paychecks, bigger paychecks than all of my friends that went to college. And I find a lot of people back in the day, they told me, Nathan, you need to go back to school. You need to go to college. You're not going to be able to make it in the world if you don't. I found that to be not very impactful on my own life. And this is the point that I want to get at. I've written for some very, very successful people. I've written for some very, very successful businesses. I've never had anybody ask me for my college degree. I've never had anybody ask me if I have an MBA in marketing. I had one time somebody asked me what my scores in English in college were, because they really liked my writing. And I had to come out and admit to them that I didn't even graduate high school, and they still hired me to write more for them. But there are a lot of people that think that without a college degree, without a high school diploma, you can't be successful, especially in the marketing and business world. When it comes to Agora Financial and your guys' hiring policy, how much could somebody like me, who's a high school dropout, still be successful with your company or even get a foot in the door with your company? And whether or not that's the case, how can people find out about working for your company?
Yeah, I don't ever look at resumes. So again, the punchline before, you know, the setup is absolutely, I do not care where someone has come from in life. I don't care if they dropped out of high school. I don't care if they have a graduate degree from Harvard. I do not care, because I've never found any correlation amongst what's on a resume versus who makes a blockbuster partner to do business with within Agora Financial. There is absolutely no correlation that I've ever found. So 100%, if someone is interested in listening to this, and if they want to explore copywriting with us, or again, sales alchemy with us, right? You know, the blurring of those lines, if they think that there's some type of fit within Agora Financial, all I care about is that the person is insanely curious, that they have an amazing work ethic, and that they can fail without feeling like a failure. Those are the only three things I care about. Other than that, on a resume, I don't care. I don't even ask for a resume. What I do ask is that someone, if they're listening to this or if they're out there and they would like to work alongside of us and be our partner, that they write me an email and get my attention. If they can do that, I know that we may have a good relationship together. So if they can write me an email and get my attention in today's incredibly crowded world, then I don't care what is on their resume. I'm never going to ask for their resume. Years and years and years ago, I would ask for people's resumes. And then I would find that we were having people that succeeded here who were high school dropouts, college dropouts, that may have been trimming trees before they found us, and they would be wildly successful. And then we'd have other people that, again, they would graduate from Harvard, you know, with MBAs, who would fail with us, you know, who we would either have to let go of, or they would depart because they found out that the business wasn't right for them. So when I was looking at resumes, I realized quickly that there was no correlation at all of what's on a resume versus who made a good partner. So we have no hiring requirements as it goes for resumes. A lot of us here, you know, are outliers. We are outcasts. Agora is not, specifically Agora Financial, is not a very conventional place. You know, I got dressed up today because I knew we were going to be on here. But most of the time I've got, you know, if we're sitting here in the summer, I've got shorts on and flip-flops and a t-shirt, right? We are non-conformists. We are outliers. We are people who think differently about the world. We're people who question the mainstream. So because of that, we do not have hiring requirements as far as resumes go. Again, if someone is insanely curious, if they research and read more than anyone else they know, if they have amazing work ethic, and right, there's nothing on a resume that's going to show me that you have amazing work ethic, and if they could fail without feeling like a failure, those are my only three requirements per se. So if someone is listening to that, and if someone is interested, what I always do here is I give out my personal email. So if you don't mind, I'll do that here again.
If you don't mind having your inbox, your already overflowing inbox flooded, absolutely.
No, I'm a masochist in that type of way. So here we go. My email is J, and then my last name, Schrieffer, S as in Sam, C-H-R-I-E-F-E-R at agorafinancial.com. So again, I'll say it one more time. J-S-C-H-R-I-E-F-E-R at agorafinancial.com. So if anyone's listening and they're interested, or if they even, you know, I've always said this to you, right? I like friends. I like having a big network. I like helping people out. So even if it's just to say hi, even if it's just to say, hey, I run a competitive business, could you look at my copy, whatever it might be, even if it's not looking for a partnership as far as employment goes, anybody wants to reach out, that is my email address. If you are looking to do business with us, write me an email and get my attention. Because again, that I find correlation in that. I find that if someone can get my attention, that they'll probably succeed here because they'll know how to get the customer. So if that can happen at the earliest part of the relationship, then we might be good partners together. So that's really it. So I hope some people, got some value out of today. Hopefully they didn't fall asleep on my rant against socialism and my referral to Peter Schiff, who's way more eloquent.
I just wanted to say that's actually how you and I got together, was through an email. So Joe's not just bullshitting you here. He's being honest. That's how he works. Yep. Joe, again, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to spend with me and my listeners. And I'm just incredibly grateful to have you and have you take your valuable time and give it to my listeners, man.
Thank you very much. I always appreciate the time, guys. So thank you very much.
All right. See you later, Joe. you want to get more sales from your website, a simple $4 investment can make that happen. Get my time-tested template formulated for sales pages, proven to turn more of your website visitors into paying customers. Discover how to write the perfect sales page, even if you're not a copywriter. Go to salespagebook.com and get your copy today. A higher converting sales page is only one click away. Go to salespagebook.com today.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.